Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. December 26, 1899. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The curse of the law, all the curse that ever was or ever can be, is simply because of sin. This is powerfully illustrated in Zechariah chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. The prophet beheld a flying roll, the length thereof 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then the Lord said to him, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. That is, this roll represents all the curse that is upon the face of the whole earth. And what is the cause of this curse over the face of the whole earth? Here it is. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. That is, this roll is the law of God, and one commandment is cited from each table, showing that both tables of the law are included in the roll. Everyone that stealeth, everyone that transgresseth the law in the things of the second table, shall be cut off as on this side of the law, according to it. And everyone that sweareth, everyone that transgresseth in the things of the first table of the law, shall be cut off as on that side of the law, according to it. Thus the heavenly recorders do not need to write out a statement of each particular sin of every man, but simply to indicate on the roll that pertains to each man the particular commandment which is violated in each transgression. That such a roll of law does go with every man wherever he goes and even abides in his house is plain from the next words, I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house. And unless a remedy shall be found, there that roll of the law will remain until the curse shall consume that man and his house with timber thereof and the stones thereof. That is, until the curse shall devour the earth in that great day when the very elements shall melt with fervent heat. For the strength of sin and the curse is the law. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. But thanks be to God, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. All the weight of the curse came upon him, for the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was made to be sin for us, who knew no sin, and whosoever receives him receives freedom from all sin, and freedom from the curse, because free from all sin. So entirely did Christ bear all the curse, that whereas when man sinned, the curse came upon the ground, and brought forth thorns and thistles. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. The Lord Jesus, in redeeming all things from the curse, wore the crown of thorns, and so redeemed both man and the earth from the curse. Bless his name, the work is done. He hath redeemed us from the curse. Thank the Lord, he was made a curse for us, because he did hang upon the tree. And since this is all an accomplished thing, freedom from the curse by the cross of Jesus Christ is the free gift of God to every soul on the earth. And when a man receives this free gift of redemption from all the curse, that roll still goes with him. Yet thank the Lord, not carrying a curse any more, but bearing witness to the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. For the very object of his redeeming us from the curse is that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. that blessing of Abraham is the righteousness of God, which, as we have already found in these studies, can come only from God as the free gift of God, received by faith. And as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, and as Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, then he has also redeemed us from the works of the law, which being only our own works are only sin, and has, by the grace of God, bestowed upon us the works of God, which being the works of faith, which is the gift of God, is only righteousness, as it is written, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." John chapter 6, verse 29. This is rest indeed, heavenly rest, the rest of God. And he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. Thus Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, and from the curse of our own works, that the blessing of Abraham, which is the righteousness and the works of God, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and all this in order that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. Thanks be to God for the unspeakable gift of his own righteousness in place of our sins, and of his own works of faith in place of our works on the law, which had been brought to us in the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. There is not a single rule in the Bible, not one. You are never to look for one there, and you are never to turn into a rule anything that is in the Bible. The Bible is simply a set of principles, which when received into the heart make our life. The Lord wishes you to live by principle, not by rule. January 2, 1900. So far in our studies in Galatians, we have reached the end of the 14th verse of the 3rd chapter, and in this study we have been brought about 5 times by different lines of reasoning to the fact that the coming of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, and the work of Christ brings salvation to the Gentiles, just where the Gentiles are, and not where the Jews are, that the special claims of the Jews are now past, and that instead of the Gentiles being required to meet Christ in the field of the Jew, even the Jew himself must now meet Christ in the field of the Gentile, and not in the field of the Jew. Over and over it has been seen that the Jews claimed justification by law, while the truth of the gospel is, and always was, justification by faith. Laws were given to the Jews by the Lord, yet the object of these never was that those to whom they were given should be justified by the laws. The giving of these laws was but the consequence of their transgression and their unbelief, and that they might the better attain to righteousness by faith. As they went further into darkness by unbelief and transgression, God in mercy followed them with further means, that if by any means he might bring them to a true and clear faith in Jesus Christ. Consequently, if they had maintained the true faith, which Abraham had before he was circumcised, faith which works the works of God, and which therefore keeps the commandments of God, the keeping of the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, none of these other laws, not even the written form and the law of God, would ever have been added. They would have kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. For if man had kept the law of God, as given to Adam after his fall, preserved by Noah, and observed by Abraham, there would have been no necessity for the ordinance of circumcision. And if the descendants of Abraham had kept the covenant, of which circumcision was a sign, they would never have been seduced into idolatry, nor would it have been necessary for them to suffer a life of bondage in Egypt. They would have kept God's law in mind, and there would have been no necessity for it to be proclaimed from Sinai, or engraved upon the tables of stone. And even when God's law had been engraved upon the tables of stone, had the people practiced the principles of the Ten Commandments, there would have been no need of the additional directions given to Moses. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 364. But the sole object of all these laws when they were added was faith in Christ, and not works of law. And therefore, when Christ had come, who is the sole object, aim, and purpose of all the laws and statutes that had been given by the Lord, when these had all met and found their purpose in Him, and He had showed the grand glory of the true and clear faith of God? It is, of all things, extravagant to claim justification by law, as did the Pharisees which believed, and who had confused the Galatians who believed in Christ by insisting that in order to be saved, they must be circumcised and keep the law. This was made clear by Paul in his appeal to Peter before them all, when he said, "If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" That is, if you have abandoned the ground of the Jews, which in order to be justified is the right thing to do, and have gone over to the ground of the Gentiles, how can it be required of the Gentiles to abandon their ground and go over to that of the Jews, which, as we ourselves have confessed, must be abandoned by even us, who by nature belong on the ground? Next, he followed this thought back to Abraham himself, and showed that even Abraham was justified by faith, and received all the promises, and became heir to the inheritance by faith alone, without circumcision, or any other of the laws which were given to the Jews. He next showed that even to those who were circumcised, and had all these laws, these things were of no profit, and availed only when they walked in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised, so that even with themselves, and through all their day, and forever, they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Next he demonstrates by the Scripture that those who are of the works of the law, those who go about by the law to be saved, and to be justified by law, are under the curse, and that Christ is come, and hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, from the curse of our own works, and that he did this in order that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. In all this it has been shown over and over that the Gentile meets Christ in the field of the Gentile, and not in the field of the Jew. It is also demonstrated over and over that the Jew meets Christ, not in the field of the Jew, but also in the field of the Gentile, exactly where the Gentile meets him, where Abraham met him, and where all, alike and forever, must meet him, in the glorious field of the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. All this, too, gives added emphasis and sets in a fuller light those two expressions in the word of Peter at the council in Jerusalem on this question, when he, telling the assembly that God had made choice of him among the apostles, that the Gentiles, by his mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe, and then said, "God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them, the Gentiles, witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them." Note, not between them and us, but between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. He then appealed to them, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God, to put a yoke upon the neck of disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Note again that Peter, by the Holy Spirit, said not that they shall be saved even as we, but we shall be saved even as they. The means of salvation to the Gentile, and not to the Jew, is the supreme standard of salvation. We Jews shall be saved even as they, the Gentiles, are saved. And they were saved by being justified by faith, not by law, but without law. They must be so justified, for they do not have any of these laws, as had the Jews, by which to be justified, if that had been the way. And so we, the Jews, must be justified, even as they must be justified, by faith, without any works of any law, even though we had all the laws that ever were. There was a time when the Gentile could meet Christ in the field of the Jew, but that time is past. It passed by the fact of the Jews rejecting Christ, even though it had not passed by any other means. But it also passed by the coming of Christ as the object, purpose, aim, completion, and fullness of all these laws that must of necessity be given to the Jews because of their unbelief and transgression. And since that time is doubly past, in which the Gentile could meet Christ in the field of the Jews, and since it is more than doubly so, that now the Jew must meet Christ in the field of the Gentile, there is no other name, nor other means, by which either Jew or Gentile must be saved, but by the name of Jesus Christ, through faith in His name. It must be borne in mind always that in all this there is no question raised, nor any point made, as to the value of any law in itself. The sole question was, and is, as to any value or use of any law in justification. Justification is by faith, not by law, by faith which is of God, and so, which works by the love of God, which is the keeping of the commandments of God. And so of all who catch the thought of God, as it is in the book of Galatians, it can truly be written, "Here are they which keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus."